Poor English is a barrier to employment in Australia, but is it the real reason when migrants don't get the job? A new Victorian report suggests that religion and race are just as powerful in screening new migrants out of the workforce. With a foreign-sounding surname, you may not even get to first base. Applicants with Anglo-Saxon names are much more likely to get an interview. Helen Zoki has a foreign-sounding name, but she's Chief Executive of the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission. She joins me now to talk about the Harnessing Diversity Report. Welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you, Richard.
Is employment discrimination a problem for migrants in general, or is it focused on particular racial and religious groups?
Well, I think that what our research has shown is that it's still somewhat of a general problem, but we have really a bit of an acute problem at the moment. And if you think about the different groups who've come to Australia in the last decade, it's those groups that seem to be not even getting to the starting line. So what this research showed was that there were still the uncouth and the obvious sort of discriminatory practices that might occur in workplaces, but what's even more worrying is that there are many people who are being discriminated against at the recruitment phase.
So Arabic-sounding names, Sudanese names, names perhaps from Afghanistan or Iran?
Well, certainly the stories that were told to the Commission in relation to people feeling that they had to change their names predominantly came from people who may have come from an Arab or may sound like they might be Muslim. That in itself is worrying.
And that's what you actually, people reported that they changed their names and they made more progress.
That's right. And I think what's probably more worrying is that some job placement agencies suggested that people should try to change their name after they were repeatedly unsuccessful in even getting an interview. Now, this is not new. If you think about the wave of migrants after the Second World War, there were many who anglicised their names. I think what's worrying is that we're a very different world to 50 years ago, a much more global world, and to feel that people have to go to those lengths to at least even get a foot in the door, I mean, that's astonishing.
What about once they're in the workplace? If they do get a job, do attitudes change?
I think that varies, and in a sense, once they're in the workplace, there's more of an opportunity for discriminatory practices to be dealt with. So certainly there were still reports of people being called names because they were from different racial backgrounds, and people not progressing as far as they felt that they should, or people not being treated equitably if they have, for example, workplace injuries. So those people at least are in the system, and we hope that after 30 years of having laws that protect people against discrimination, that there's an opportunity for those people to seek redress. I think the thing that really is the most worrying from the Commission's perspective is the underemployment and unemployment of people from these racial and religious backgrounds, and that is occurring at a time where we have a labour market shortage, where we have such an emphasis on actually bringing people into the country to fill these jobs, just seems ridiculous. It just doesn't add up. And the cost to the individuals and the cost to the community in not putting some significant resources right at the front end of this process to help these people come into our labour markets is the thing that we're really calling for.
Well, I'll come back to that in a minute if I've got time, but just a couple of other things. When you speak to employers, how aware are they of a cultural bias?
Well, that's the interesting thing. You know, we're all aware that it's against the law to be a racist. But what this study shows is that there is very much an Anglo or a European filter which is put on recruitment practices. And often these processes are quite embedded. One of the things that the Commission is trying to promote is that in order to achieve equality, you actually have to treat people differently. Now, we're not talking about the old affirmative action campaigns. We're just simply saying that where you have a recruitment process, you have to look at the multiple skills or contributions that an individual who sits before you can make to your workplace. And I think too often we just are very stuck in the kind of common or garden way of saying, well, there's only one way to do this job.
It is difficult to work out exactly how to do that, though, isn't it? Because you have to come up with a system that is still robust, that isn't rortable, and that it has a cultural sensitivity.
That's right, Richard. But do you know, if you think about all areas of diversity, it's not something new that we've been calling for this. And the fact that we haven't been able to do that in relation to women, in relation to people with a disability, and in relation to people from different racial backgrounds is a bit astonishing. And that's one of the reasons why this report is really saying that there are a couple of things that need to happen.
Well,
government is really critical. I mean, government has to be able to demonstrate best practice, and it also, I think, has to resource the actual mentoring and, you know, transition of people. But I think you're quite right that we almost need a sort of the equivalent to the occupation and health and safety campaigns to open employers' eyes to the fact that in many cases they're inadvertently being quite discriminatory in their practices.
My guest on Life Matters right now is Helen Zocchi, Chief Executive of the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission. We're talking about some research done for the Commission that showed that if you've got a foreign-sounding name, particularly if you've got a name that that sounds Arabic or essentially refers to the fact that you are a Muslim, that you have more problem getting a job in Australia. You already mentioned this, Helen, but the role for government. Government's a big employer, of course. That could be part, or that is part, of what you would like to see change.
Well, that's right. Government can demonstrate best practice in all sorts of ways, and that can be done at both a state and a federal level. So in one sense, the public service should reflect the sort of community that we live in. And if you think about the number of people you might see in government departments who are from African backgrounds who wear a hijab or, you know, all of those other sort of indicators, then we're probably not doing as well as we should, and we need to be able to measure that and demonstrate that in a quite transparent way.
Your report argues that recruitment agencies like the Job Network don't have the right mix of skills to find employment for these new migrant groups, especially refugees. What would you like to see change?
Well, I think that there are a number of reviews around at the moment about the job networks, and I think that there are a number of things which really need to change. The first is that probably they themselves need to have some cultural awareness training to actually understand how they can equip their clients to present themselves most appropriately in different sort of employment situations. The second thing is that I do think that the actual incentives for job networks probably need to change at a time where we have quite a crowded labour market, and so that they need more time to actually mentor people. That the notion of actually having work experience or interim labour market opportunities to allow people to get some experience under their belt so that they can compete, if you like, with in a robust manner, which is the thing that you really talked about. We don't want to have rorts or that sort of thing, but we do need an employment market where people who have different experiences have the opportunity to say, well, I can translate this, I can actually make a contribution. And I think the other big issue, particularly for new arrivals, is that we just don't give them enough time to have the command of English that in many employment situations will put a potential employer at ease. Now, often the level of English that people have is sufficient for them to operate safely in the workplace. But I think, again, it's that notion that employers need reassurance that these people can actually contribute.
So government showing by example, a public awareness campaign as well, a different approach to recruitment agencies, all would be things that you would recommend. Does employment discrimination reduce over time? The longer someone's in Australia, the more their job opportunities improve? Is that fair?
Well, I don't think that I can really say that unequivocally. And the reason is the number of people who've actually been in Australia for a decade or longer and who are caught in this absolute catch-22 about recognition of their overseas qualifications, even after all this time. So we heard many stories of people who said, well, I've had this qualification that's not recognised in Australia. In order to have it recognised in Australia, I have to do further studies. I can't afford to do further studies because I have to work, but I can't work in my chosen profession because my qualifications aren't recognised. So that's one kind of circular catch-22 that these people find themselves in. The other is those people that have actually gone and updated their qualifications only then to be told that they're overqualified for the positions that they're going to. Now, this is not a numerical sample, but there are enough worrying anecdotes from people to suggest probably that excuse me, the advice or the support that they're getting isn't cutting through some of that kind of circular frustration in terms of recognition of what they might bring.
Thank you very much. That's where we'll leave it this morning. That's Helen Zoki, who's Chief Executive of the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission. Does any of this ring true for you? Have you experienced employment discrimination because of your name, the way it sounds or is spelt, because of your ethnicity? Let us know, abc.net.au/rn/lifematters.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.